Let's pray together as we turn to God's word. Our dear Father in heaven, we praise your name because you are great. You are the sovereign king over all nations and over all peoples. And we praise you that we can meet together in a country where we are free to worship and practice our faith. And I pray that we would use our liberty and our freedom for the advance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I praise you today for providing for us as a nation. You are very good, and I pray that we would not terminate our desires on the blessings, but on the one who blesses us. And I pray that we would lift up your name and live for you with all the blessings that you have given us as a people and as a nation. As we turn to your word this evening, O Lord, I pray that you would be pleased to open our eyes to see the wonderful things that you have for us in your word. I pray that you would grant repentance from sin, that you would grant faith in Jesus Christ, that you would lift up your name, that you would humble the pride of humans and lift up the name of Jesus Christ. O Lord, I pray that we would not only learn from your word, but we would delight in your word and treasure it above all things. So may Jesus Christ be praised this evening. In his matchless name, amen. When we think about Memorial Day, we should definitely remember the men and women who in the military who have paid the ultimate price for freedom in our country. And we should praise God for their sacrifice. We should pray also for the members of the military who are serving at this moment as well. But when we think about Memorial Day, we often think of other things such as travel, summer, baseball, grilling out, and times with friends and family. And another topic that's bound to come up when we think of Memorial Day is the government. And there's nothing like politics to turn family fun into a family feud. There's a good question. What is the Christian's responsibility toward the government? This morning, we looked at a passage from Titus about how we are supposed to obey the government and submit to their rules. Today, we're going to look from our passage from 1 Timothy 2 about prayer for our leaders. Prayer for our leaders. So let's turn there to 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy 2. And we'll see that prayer for the government is not ultimately for the government. It's ultimately not for us either. It's for the honor and fame of Jesus Christ. So I'll read for us 1 Timothy, hopefully I said that, 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. It says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, all people, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I'm going to focus on this one thing. There is one thing that we must do, and that is to pray. There are many things the Bible commands and many things that keep us busy in life, but there is one thing that is necessary, and that is prayer. And in our passage, the Apostle Paul is writing to his co-worker Timothy and saying, You know what? There's some bad teaching going around in the church. You need to reject that, and you need to teach these things to your people. And he says, first of all, there must be prayer. We're supposed to pray all kinds of prayers. There's four terms for prayer. All kinds of prayers for all men, for all people. And we are to pray for the leaders in our government. It says for kings and for all that are in authority. So that covers the local, the state, and the federal government back in the context from the local leaders all the way up to the emperor. We are to pray for our leaders. Why should we pray for them? It says in the text, so that we'll live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. We are to live lives as Christians so that we honor Christ by our obedience to the laws of the land, but also we are to live lives that do not conform to the culture. So in godliness is very important. So obey the laws of the land, but don't be conformed to the culture. So live in godliness. So godliness and respectability. It's one thing to disagree with the decisions of the leaders in government. I'm sure that will always happen, no matter what country you're in, that will disagree with some decision that has been made or some policy. It's another thing to gripe and to complain about our leaders, when the Bible clearly says we should pray for them. And that's very important for us as Christians, that we honor Christ by praying for our leaders. Some people go as far as to disobey the laws and to riot against the government. Paul says, no, pray for your leaders. And he's saying this in the context. We looked at this morning the context of the church in the first century under a cruel Roman emperor that killed Christians. And there's nothing like Christians who say, I will obey the laws of the land as I live for King Jesus, that brings honor to Jesus Christ. So there's one thing we must do, pray. And we'll look a little bit later, but why we pray for all people. That's very important as well. Number two, there is one God. It says in verse 3, this is good. So this prayer and this lifestyle of honesty and godliness is pleasing to God. We pray for all people because God desires for all people to be saved. That's why we pray for all men, for all people. And the focus here is on all kinds of people. Not just Jews, that's how the church started with just Jews, but also Gentiles, all the other nations. Not just people inside the church, but people outside the church. Not just Americans, but people from all nations. So God desires for all people from every tribe, tongue, and nation to be saved. And God's mission to save people from every nation should mirror our passion to pray for all people. So there's one God, and that means that he is the God over all nations. There's not, God's only the God of these few nations. No, he's the God over the whole world, and he desires for all people from all nations to be saved. So mirror God's desire for salvation by a passion to pray for all people. So there's one thing we must do, and that's pray. There's one God. Number three, there is one mediator. Even though God desires all people to be saved, there's only one way for them to be saved. Only one way, and that is through Jesus Christ. He's the mediator. You can think about it as a bridge across the Grand Canyon. There's only one way you can get across it. And if it's not Christ, you can't get across. Jesus Christ is the one mediator between God and humans. And that is a fact, that is a truth that our culture does not like to hear, because it says there's only one way to God, not multiple ways, as some religions would teach and some people would think. There is only one way to God, and that is through Jesus Christ. I love the beautiful language here. It says in verse 6, He gave Himself. Christ offered Himself as a ransom. What does that mean? It means He offered Himself to rescue us in our place. Jesus Christ took our place on the cross. We deserved death and hell, and Christ took death and hell for us on the cross. He was a ransom for us. He died in our place. The great news that the church proclaims, that the Bible proclaims, is that Jesus Christ died to save you from sin, from death, from hell, from the devil, and from bondage to your sinful desires. Question this evening, has Christ rescued you? Is He your mediator? On the great judgment day, when you stand before God Almighty, what will He say to you? Only those who have found Christ as their mediator and as their Savior will be saved. And the response that we are to give to this news is one of faith in Jesus Christ, to trust Him alone as our Savior and as our mediator. One thing we must do, pray. One God, one mediator, and lastly, there's one mission. There's one mission. Verse 6 says this. It says that Christ was testified in due time. What's that saying is that when God determined the right time, Christ came and the good news about Jesus was proclaimed to the world. In verse 7, Paul says, I'm a part of that too. I'm a part of that mission to spread the news about Jesus Christ, that He was our ransom throughout the whole world, to the Gentiles. So that says, to all nations. The mission that Paul had to bring the gospel to all nations is the same mission that God has. And it should be our mission as well. There's one mission. God has a mission to make Jesus Christ known to all nations through us, so it is our mission as well. How do we get involved? And this is how we will wind up this evening. How do we get involved in God's mission? One mission. It's not we do one thing and God does another thing. The church has the same mission as God does, to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ and His fame throughout the nations. How do we get involved? Number one, pray for the salvation of all people. Pray for the salvation of all people. And I could stand here and lament the lack of prayer in the American church. But I'm not going to do that. I'm going to urge you, as an individual Christian, to pray for the salvation of all nations. Pray for the salvation of your family members who don't know Christ. Pray for your unsaved neighbors and friends, because God must work if they are to be saved. Pray for all people. This is pleasing to God. God is pleased when we pray for the salvations of our friends and our neighbors and our family and of all people. It's His mission. And prayer is a huge way we get involved in God's mission, because God's mission is something that He does. So we get involved through prayer. Number two, pray for the government. Pray for the government. think about our government, sometimes we think it's big, untamable, scary at times. We wonder what the future holds for our country. God is bigger than the government. He is bigger than all kings and all nations and all rulers. Nothing can stop God. He will use all governments and all rulers to accomplish His will. Nothing can stop His plan. And He will use governments, even that are opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ, to spread the news of Jesus Christ around the world. And we can be a part of God's mission by praying for our government. So don't say, I just want a good life, so we'll pray for our government. No, it's part of God's mission. Number three, live lives for the mission. Live lives for the mission. Our text is very clear. The purpose of praying for our government is so that we can lead peaceful and godly lives. But the passage doesn't stop there. It doesn't stop there. The purpose of leading peaceful and godly lives is not so that we can sit on our front porch and sip iced tea and peace, even though I enjoy doing that. The purpose of praying for the government so that we can lead peaceful and godly lives is so that we can live lives for the mission, so that we can live for the gospel of Jesus Christ. So let's not, it's very tempting to stop with peaceful, godly lives because we're there. We have relative peace in our nation. Don't stop there. Don't stop there. Use your lives for the gospel. Use the freedoms and the resources that we have as a people, as a very blessed nation, to further the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I praise God for this church and the missions that they support around the world. That is awesome. So let's continue to do that with a church and with our lives. Use the freedoms that we have, the peace that we have, for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's one thing we must do that's necessary, and that is prayer. We pray to one God who will save people through one mediator, Jesus Christ. And the church and you, if you're a Christian, have one mission, and that is to spread the good news of Jesus Christ to all people. Let's pray together. Our dear Father in heaven, we praise you today for your word, and I pray that it would be clear to us, that we would understand its message. But even more than that, after we have understood it, I pray that we would believe it and trust it. And I pray that it would lead us to Jesus Christ and to the worship of Him. And Lord, in obedience to your commands in this passage, I pray today for our government. I pray that they would have, our leaders would have wisdom to rule in righteousness and justice, so that we can live peaceful and godly lives. I pray that we would use our freedoms that you have given us for the furtherance of the mission, so that we can live lives that testify to your grace by their actions and by our words as well. Lord, I pray that the fame of Jesus Christ, the good news about his rescue of sinners, would spread across this globe to all peoples and to all nations. Thank you for our missionaries that we support who proclaim the name of Jesus Christ in nations near and far. And I pray that you would strengthen them and keep them faithful to you. Help us, O Lord, in our daily lives to be faithful to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ wherever you place us. So, Lord, help us to obey, help us to treasure your word, and to treasure Jesus Christ. In his matchless name, amen.